100th episode of Health Literacy Out Loud. In honor of this special occasion, we have new music to open and close this podcast series. It is my favorite song and so appropriate to health literacy. It is the Old Shaker Hymn, "'Tis a Gift to Be Simple." I'm Helen Osborne, president of Health Literacy Consulting, founder of Health Literacy Month, and your host of Health Literacy Out Loud. In these podcasts, you get to listen in on my conversations with those in the know about health literacy. Today, I'm talking with Drs. James, or Jim, and Janice, or Jan, Petraska. Dr. Jim Petraska is a clinical psychologist and one of the originators of the trans-theoretical model of behavior change. He is founder of ProChange Behavioral Systems and director of the Cancer Prevention Research Center and professor of psychology at the University of Rhode Island. Jim Petraska is the author of hundreds of articles and many books, including the classic, Changing for Good. Deservedly so, he has won numerous awards for his innovative work about behavior change for health promotion and disease prevention. Dr. Jan Petraska is one of the most published authors in the field of social work. As president and CEO of ProChange Behavior Systems, she leads a team of experts in health behavior and organizational change, applying the stages of change model to issues that include weight management, bullying prevention, and helping people be proactive about their health and health care. Welcome to you both.
Good to be with you.
I have been your fan for years, starting with my days as an occupational therapist working on a psychiatric unit. And now in health literacy, I continue to see the relevance of behavior change as we work to improve health communication. For our listeners who come from all backgrounds, can you put this into context? What is the stages of change behavioral model?
The stage model begins with assessing what stage of change people are in, and we have pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, and maintenance. And then we can take and match our communications to where the patient or client is at and to help them progress from one stage to the next.
Can you give us an example of that?
Yes. In pre-contemplation stage, this is where folks are not intending to make significant changes in the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. Often misunderstood as being non-compliant, resistant, unmotivated. In fact, we now know that one of the things we need to communicate to them are the pros or benefits of, like, regular exercise, for example. And that's very different from somebody who has already taken action. Where there, we want to encourage them to be reinforcing themselves, to get support from others, and other processes that will help them move to long-term maintenance.
I love the example. And as I learned about your work initially, it was a lot about smoking cessation, but also just those everyday behaviors we need to change. That if you never even thought about doing this, you need a very different type of information than if you've been doing this a while or kind of thinking about doing it. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed. So the communications, the health communications, get tailored to the stage that the individual is in.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm curious, since I have the luxury of talking to you for this podcast, how did this get started?
Oh, Helen, I think it's really fascinating how it all got started. Jim and some of his students were trying to really understand how people change on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went out and talked to people who had been smokers who had stopped smoking on their own.
Okay.
And when they asked the smokers who had quit, how did you do it? What were you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they responded by, it depends when.
Oh, that was the crux of it, it depends?
It depends on when we're talking about, yes.
Yeah, so they were teaching the stages of change to Jim and his graduate students.
Yeah, one of the things that we're convinced why it has been so important is because we were taught to it by ordinary people who had found a way to get through stages and didn't have those terms, but we were listening with the third ear, and we heard them talking about doing different things at different times in their quitting process.
There are two concepts you raised there, just about listening and the real value of that. This behavioral model, to me and so many people worldwide, is a real underpinning of understanding human behavior. So you took that from listening, and the other part that I gathered from your story is it was ordinary people.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wow.
And what they taught us is that wherever you're at, we can work with that if we listen and adapt our interventions to where they are at in their readiness to change.
Yeah, I think that's very important because historically, it was one model, the action model, and health professionals were basically stuck with communicating action kinds of messages. You have to quit smoking, you have to start exercising, you have to change your diet. And then they were so frustrated that the patients were seen as non-compliant, you know, not motivated, not ready.
Mm-hmm.
We discovered that it was us who were not ready for them, and it was us who were not motivated our communications to match where they were at.
I've been doing this health literacy work for quite a while, and I'm hearing the same issues. People aren't following directions. They're not following, you know, the information that we're telling them. How come? Why? I just got an email about that this morning. When I talk about this, and please correct me if I don't have this right, health literacy, good, clear communication will get us to some level because people need to know what to do. But the way I consider it is that behavior and understanding why and how people change is the next level. And I'm not sure we can have successful interventions without the clear communication and understanding why people change. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, we realize that it's not just clear, simple information that's important. People have to be ready to do something with it. And for many years, people were just figuring that the doctor would tell them what to do or the doctor knows best. And what we're having really changing is we're encouraging people to take more responsibility for their health and healthcare needs. And so we're encouraging people to be more proactive about their health and to become a proactive health consumer, but everybody's not ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually built a program at ProChange to assess people's readiness to be a proactive health consumer, which means being able to make an informed decision. It means being able to be working with your provider about making some shared decisions. And recognizing that everybody's not ready to do that, we've built a program to assess their readiness and then to help them move through the stages of change to become a more proactive health consumer.
That's fascinating because I keep hearing the term proactive patient engagement, the activated patient, informed decision making. Like it or not, it seems like that's where healthcare is, at least in the United States today.
And increasingly so because of the changes happening in healthcare reform, where practices and accountable care organizations are increasingly responsible for populations and need to be able to work with them wherever they're at.
Can you give an example of how we can be considering the stages of change with our patients who could be at all level of readiness to participate?
Well, first, honestly, if we don't like the way our patients are behaving, you know, the old rule was we have to first change our own behavior. But that starts with changing our mind, our mental model of what behavior change is. And so we first need to have a model that will be for all people in a population, not just those who are ready or motivated. And frankly, we need to have a simple way of communicating that to patient populations. And so we often use a traffic light as a nice icon or symbol. Red light not ready, yellow light getting ready, green light ready. Ready or not, we can be of help. And we need to let patients know that because their mental model is action. So if they're not ready to take action, they think, oh, I'm not going to talk about exercise or smoking or diet or, you know, making decisions about healthcare because I'm not ready and I'll just fail. Versus, hey, wherever you're at, you can be part of this process, and we can help you to move ahead.
Can you give an example? Well, I guess we're talking about being an activated patient, so it's really perhaps making that decision with your provider. Is that a good example to use?
Yeah, let's use an example in terms of medication.
Okay.
A physician or a nurse practitioner prescribes a medication. They take care about choosing the biology that will be most helpful, but they often don't recognize, let's say they're prescribing a statin for a cholesterol management. They don't recognize that they're also prescribing a behavior. Are you prepared to take this pill every day for the rest of your life?
Oh, okay.
Okay, so they may pressure the patient to go on the medication, but if the patient's in contemplation, they're going to be very ambivalent. Their pros and cons of taking that action are tied. And so the provider can assess where they're at, and they can say, hey, listen, we need to help you to appreciate the multiple benefits that comes with this medication, and we need to help you to lower some of the cons of this. And so we want to be sharing the process with you, because if it's not a shared process, then the patient will often act out, you know, where they're at, and so they may start, and then they have some negative, that throws them in a negative balance, so they discontinue, and the physician says, look at that, they're a non-compliant patient, versus, wait a minute, I prescribed or pushed action when they weren't ready, I could help them to be part of that, and if they share with it with me, I can share with them the best kind of guidance to move them towards taking action.
What a great example. So what would a clinician do? What would you recommend to do to really create that alliance and meet the person where he or she is at?
I think that the specialist or the provider needs to understand what stage that individual might be in. And then if they're in pre-contemplation, for example, for taking that medication, as Jim was saying, to really share what the benefits of doing that would be, and also to help reduce some of the cons that they might be experiencing around that, and also to help them understand the impact of them being adherent would have on their family or on their peers. So it's important to really articulate a lot to that person who is not ready to start on being adherent to the prescribed situation.
What about someone who's at that yellow light stage, like maybe, maybe not?
Yeah, that's the contemplation stage, and that is marked by profound ambivalence. And again, we know, like with them, one of the things we need to do is to be bringing down the cons. So, for example, the number one con for regular exercise in Taiwan and Mexico and amongst retired Americans in the U.S. is time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will keep putting it off because, you know, I don't have enough time. But if we help them to appreciate that, you know, this is the bargain basement of behaviors, there's nothing that you can do with your time that could give you as many kinds of benefits. You know, do you like bargains? Great. This is a behavior for you.
I like that bargain basement. And what about someone who's just like champion, like, yeah, I want to do this?
Well, we really encourage somebody in preparation to not just jump right away to that action criteria, but to really develop a plan and to have a start date, to share their plan with others to gain some support, to create the surroundings around them to be receptive to that new behavior. For example, if it, you know, get rid of the ashtrays if they're a smoker, you know, clean out the car, freshen up the clothes, get ready to be in an environment that's going to be, you know, clean and healthier for them. For that person in preparation, we encourage them to take some small steps and to be successful at those small manageable steps to give them confidence to go on and to actually stop the negative behavior or start doing the very healthy behavior.
Okay, and I know from your model, then you've got the other part of someone who's been doing it a while might be getting a little sick and tired of this.
Yeah, and exercise is clearly one of those, and so you see a lot of relapse, and we call it recycling, where they go back to an earlier stage. But if they built up a nice list of pros, and we let them know there's over 60, you know, regular benefits, then they do a to-do list. Okay, today, walking from my heart. Tomorrow, walking from my weight. The next day, walking from my stress. Then walking from my brains, walking from my bones, walking from my sleep. You see, then it's, oh my gosh, you know, look at all the benefits. But it's like, hey, I am walking to affirm so much of my body and myself, walking for my grandkids. So it's like, hey, this is like, we shouldn't think of these as like physical exercises, but as like vitality exercises.
I've been a walker for years and years and years, and I live up in Massachusetts, and the weather can be pretty rotten some mornings. And what keeps me going, it's not quite the same as, it's thoughtful as what you're talking about, but I keep listening to podcasts, not just mine. I've got my whole favorite ones. And if I need to hear the end of Ira Glass's This American Life, I'm walking. So maybe that's my little treat out there. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you're creating your environment, or you're giving yourself a stimulus kind of situation, which really gets you to go out and keep walking.
Yeah. Jan, like a lot of others, you know, she always has a pedometer on, and she can take and monitor herself, and she can say, hey, I need to get another 1,000 steps in today, and off she goes.
So there's little prizes we give ourselves, or little rewards, it sounds like.
Yes.
For listeners of all varieties, we're not all clinicians. There's public health folks and, you know, librarians and teachers and, you know, everybody communicating health information. What we have in common is we're all somehow interested in health literacy, but we're at very different places. And I always hear the issue about time when I give workshops and things like, great idea, but I don't have time to put this into my practice. I hear that sometimes. Can you think of how this behavioral stage model might apply to people building health literacy into what they do as they communicate?
Well, let me start in terms of with building change literacy into their programs.
Okay.
And ProChange has, like, you could have dashboards, but you can take and have what comes on the screen, the questions to ask to assess, you know, what stage the person is
and
in.
I'm sorry, when you say ProChange, you're referring to the business?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
and can you give us the website for that, please?
It's www.prochange.com.
Okay. Thanks.
So it can help the professional to take and assess what stage the person's in. And then if they're going to be helping them with particular behaviors, it can also give them nice bullets of here's the one or two things that you could say that could help them to be progressing. And then you can also take and recommend programs that the person can do at home in between contacts. But if I was going to be translating it, if you have somebody who's in pre-contemplation around, let's say, informed and shared decision-making, mm-hmm. ProChange's program would both give you, as a professional, nice feedback on what you could do, but it also has a program that the client can use. And then you can take, as a professional, you can see on your dashboard, hey, they're progressing. And then when they come in, hey, congratulations. You know, you've progressed one stage since we last met. You have about double the chances you're going to be taking effective action in the next few months. So both get reinforced because the professional can see progress and the client can see progress.
Oh, wonderful. I will put that URL certainly on your Health Literacy Out Loud webpage. I know I have actually used the Stages of Change model as I advocate and talk about Health Literacy Month, and that's about raising awareness. And people ask me, well, what should I do for Health Literacy Month? And I go back to almost where you started. It sounds like, well, it depends. Where are they? And it depends. Have they ever heard about health literacy? Is this a brand new concept? And then I have to present information one way or suggest that they do. Or is this something they've been kind of thinking about, maybe sort of doing, but don't quite know what to do? Have they doing this a while and they need to justify continuing to do this? I found that model so helpful.
Well, that's great. And then, I mean, you can add in terms of, like Jan was talking about, increasing the pros, whether it's mass communication or person-to-person communication, what are all the benefits? And then as a group, folks can contribute. You could have like a site where you add, here's a pro that I found with an individual, and be sharing more and more benefits that folks are finding that they can help people with.
Oh, I love that idea. Well, last question. You've been doing this for quite some time. But I hear the enthusiasm still about all the work that you're doing and all the benefits of this, considering behavior change. What keeps you excited to go to work each morning?
What gets me excited is applying the model in new ways. And, you know, you were pointing out earlier how I work with the, being the proactive health consumer, but also in bullying prevention in with the perpetrators of domestic violence. And right now we're working with the juvenile justice program to help kids stay out of trouble with the law who are on probation. And also we've applied it to organizational change and helping people work collaboratively in teams. So it's exciting to me to have people calling in and asking new ways of applying the principles of change to a new content area.
And for me, I would say we continue to be having breakthroughs. Jen, I have just been working in terms of a whole new model, a continuum of patient engagement. And we know that's such a high priority. And really putting together what are the phases of engagement, what are the factors that help people to become increasingly more engaged. And then we've also having breakthroughs on how to help people change multiple behaviors, because we know folks with multiple risk behaviors are the highest risk and the highest cost. And now we're finding we can have greater impact with less demands on the professional and less demands on the patient or client.
Well, I want to thank you both for all the work that you have done. It has made a profound difference from you listening to just ordinary people about how they change behaviors in their lives. I hope that listeners of this podcast will also, I'm sure they will, learn from you about how to change their practice. Thank you both so much for being guests on Health Literacy Out Loud.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Great to be on your 100th broadcast.
Thank you. Wow. I learned so much from talking with Drs. Jim and Janice Petraska, and I certainly hope that you learned so much too. But health literacy isn't always easy. For help clearly communicating your health message, please visit my health literacy consulting website at www.healthliteracy.com. And while you are there, sign up for the free e-newsletter, What's New in Health Literacy Consulting. New Health Literacy Out Loud podcasts come out every few weeks. Subscribe for free to hear them all. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and the Health Literacy Out Loud website, www.healthliteracyoutloud.com. You can also find links to written transcripts for all the newer Health Literacy Out Loud podcasts. Did you like this podcast? Even more, did you learn something new? If so, tell your colleagues, tell your friends. Together, let's let the whole world know why health literacy matters. Until next time, I'm Helen Osborne.